And so it will be a task to check off. It will be a task in the whole project at that point in time or during the renovation activities to check for that mold and then clean it as you find it. And once it's cleaned, you'll do testing to make sure that there's no mold spores in the air, and it will clear it and say, okay, we're mold free. Of course, you can't be mold free until you fix things like leaking ceilings, leaking roofs, leaking windows, leaking doorways. Okay? Those all have to be done before we can get in and fix a mold problem. Where am I going? Okay.
Yeah, I was going to add that also. So the bigger issue is solving what caused the mold in the first place, which I know the city has already begun doing with some of the envelope work and replacing the windows. So again, we studied the building itself, every corner of it, every room. We looked at all the little things that would need to be repaired. And we also toured the modular police facilities. So once we got done analyzing the annex building itself, then we moved on to the programming stage. And I think Bob is going to come up and talk about those. So the two left columns and the bottom row are the existing annex. And then the upper four pictures are the modular facility that the police are currently operating out of. So this one clicks it forward, and that's kind of...
Okay. Good evening. Bob Schwartz with HLK. I'm a senior justice planner for the company.
You're taller than I am.
And just we're dedicated to just justice facilities and in our group. That's all that we do within HLK. And we do it nationally. So first off, we worked with the Department of Public Works and the Police Department, with the Chief and his staff extensively in developing the programmatic needs, which are in this report. And we used all these different standards, at least 9 different standards, everything we could find applicable to this facility, from the Missouri Police Chiefs, International Association of Chiefs of Police, there's an Association for Property and Evidence Storage, the American Correctional Association for the detention areas, SEPTED principles. That's just really just natural ways to look at defensible space. The ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. We also have PREA when it comes to detention, the Prisoner Rape Elimination Act, and then the Building Code and NFPA 101. And I think this is a little hard to read, but basically we looked at both the areas they have today in the modular building and what they need programmatically for the future. And the existing building is about 25,500 square feet, and it was done very quickly. It's been serving their needs. It was purpose-built for them. The proportion of space is not really good for really what they need now. I mean, the public areas are good, police administration works, but they need more for their staff, for field operations, the Bureau of Services, the Bureau of Investigation. And then we also looked at the municipal court and how they interface with the lobby and actually bringing the court back into the building, which would be a lot more efficient operation for the courts as opposed to using the rec center and then moving, you know, whenever there's sessions out there and having detention staff, police, having to work overtime there for security. So in all, if you get through that, we had a need for another 11,000 square feet.
Explain the open box.
Yeah, so the open boxes on top of each one is what they have today, and the solid color is what the need is. And then you see on the bottom just the totals in a graphic form.
Okay. So in some cases, you'll note that the program needs to grow, and in other cases, they have more space than they need to operate the program or that component of the program. So then just another high-level look at what is being used now. So they have 29,700 square feet in the modular buildings. The annex building has 37,400 square feet. And then we did study also if there were portions of the program that might go elsewhere, that you might look at another approximately 6,000 square feet. But that was just something that was part of a discussion, nothing that was decided for sure. So we also had a cost estimator on our team who's not here tonight, but we wanted to, now that we had all of this information and we knew a lot more about the building, we had documented a lot of what needed to be done in a couple of different scenarios, we wanted to look at cost. So the first option is to renovate the annex building, and then, if needed, renovate that small additional area. But again, we didn't really finish space planning or anything like that, so that's an optional thing. But if we did need that extra space, that is included here. This does include the abatement also in all cases. And so that option one came to $14,625,000. And these are conceptual design estimates, so they do include a pretty hefty contingency for what we don't know yet. So it's the same in all cases. So for option two, we talked about renovating the annex building, and if that little bit of additional space was needed, building something new for that. And that came to $15,875,000. And then option three would be to not reuse the annex building and build something completely new for the police department, and that came to $18,600,000. And so I'll close with what our design team recommendation was, which would be to renovate the annex building, and if additional area was needed, to find a space to renovate for that also. So this is for several reasons. One, it's a significant historic building that's currently underutilized. And two, it's the most cost-effective solution from our study. And also, the police department would remain in the same general location, which seemed good as well. So that is all we have, and we can open it up for, well, whatever you think, Mr. Rose. Questions or comment?
To my colleagues, who would like to begin with their questions? Mr. Clay?
Yes. Thank you for the presentation. A couple things.
Can you get that closer?
Yes, I can. You just spoke of use, and the scope of this was really looking at use of this building for police purposes, not other purposes.
Right. However, it could be used for other purposes. And the police, Bob could probably speak to dollars per square foot for police use, but it does have a higher level of requirement in terms of construction. So a different use, an administrative use or something, would likely have a lower cost. But we did just study police.
All right. Thank you. I'll say this, and my colleagues have heard this and are likely growing tired of it. I shall have a T-shirt printed that says it to save these words, but this is a generational decision that we are undertaking here. And so one of the things that I would suggest, and my colleagues may already be thinking this, is that this be viewed in the context of the space needs study that is taking place, which I believe is looking at all our facilities, because certainly we have a building that needs a use. Whether or not this is the best use for that, I think can only be determined in the context of looking at all our facilities. The second thing I would offer to my colleagues and to the city manager is this. So we find ourselves in an inner ring suburban area with a declining population. when I look, and I am not a city management nor public works professional, so I certainly own that. When I look at similarly situated places, be they cities or even school districts, the buzzword seems to be consolidation as opposed to expansion. So it's taking 2, 3 or more facilities and trying to consolidate them into 1 or 2. This seems to be me to be an expansion, which given where we are as a city, seems to run counter to the trends that I am familiar with, because what these municipalities, these school districts recognize is two buildings is two buildings. And yes, while one may be significantly smaller than the other, it is two HVAC systems, it is two parking lots, it is two of everything that needs maintenance and attention. And certainly in the beginning, that would be minimal. But to my oft-repeated theme of this being a generational decision, to maintain two facilities, I would want to understand, to the degree we can, what that maintenance looks like, two facilities versus one. I realize that may be a significant, if not impossible, task, but I think that has to go into our decision-making as we analyze this and any other possibilities. Thank you.
When you say two facilities, are you talking about the modular facility? Or because that would go away. No. Or just if we needed the extra. So that was, yeah, and that was something that wasn't completely decided. It was.
Yeah. I mean, it's here, so though. It's good, so, I mean, we have to acknowledge
yeah,
that it's here.
Right.
Ms. Carr?
Thank you, Mayor. So I guess my conversation is partially aimed at my colleague, Mr. Clay, but also I need a little bit of information. So it looks like from the program evaluation that the needs of our police department have increased from what they were previously. So we're not necessarily contracting. I mean, if we're looking at needs, is that correct, Mr. Rose?
Mayor Pro Tem, the council has agreed to a second step as that's related to this process, and that second step is to do a space needs analysis. So much of the focus for this analysis was on, can we have any operation out of the annex, including police, because of the realization that that might require a higher level renovation than what some other operation is. I can respond to that question and say that the police, as they presented the information to Trivers, would at least appear to be expanding. I'm not convinced, nor have I studied whether that is needed at this point. My intention is to drill down on what the needs are of police and the rest of the organization as a part of the space needs study.
Thank you. So if for a moment we look at that program evaluation and accept the fact or accept the analysis, it looks to me like the operations, I haven't noticed that crime's gone down. So I do think that our first line of defense needs to have an adequate facility. I've said that right from the beginning before when they were in the annex and they were faced with mold day to day. So it looks to me like in terms of operations, we certainly need some expansion, modernization, and those kinds of things. So while the school district may be losing students, we're not losing crime, unfortunately, Mr. Clay. So I would like to, if we're looking at needs analysis, I'd like to consider that that each of the relative departments or whatever may have a different function than they had previously. Not because necessarily our population has dropped from 65,000 to 35,000 over a period of 60, 40, 50 or 60 years, But that, in fact, we are asking more of those departments. We are asking them to do functions that weren't previously provided in the 60s and 70s, or even earlier when the population was very, very high. So I, in a sense, I concur that I'd like to see the needs analysis, but I feel that it's reasonable to think those services, those operations of the police, are probably pretty accurately reflected here, since we were working with an expert and since we were involving our police department. It wasn't just me sitting here and telling you what I think's needed. So while there can be some consolidation when it's truly justified, I'm not sure that at this point it is justified. So maybe I should get the opposite T-shirt from you with a great big X across it.
Mr. Rose?
Mayor Pro Tem, one of the items that I would ask that you keep in mind is the Ferguson report. And so even though the most efficient and effective structure might be a consolidation of police and court, from a practical sense, that might not be the best alignment to have. And the reason I say that is there is an interest at the state level, certainly, making sure that the relationship between courts and police is as separate as possible. So that might dictate locations for those operations. But those are some of the things that we would consider as a part of the space needs analysis.
If you don't mind, Amy, I have a few questions as well. You had said during your presentation that the projected cost had a pretty high contingency factor in it. Is that a 20%?
I believe it's 20%. I can let you know for sure. I can email Mr. Rose.
And that's fine.
But
Amy,
I think so, it's usually 20% at about this stage.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the 20% is sort of the number you've got then for the contingency for what we may not know. One other thing that you'd said, and maybe I'm simply wrong on this, and as I say that, I want to make sure that could easily be the case. I've always viewed this building as being both historic and significantly important. I've sort of viewed the annex as historic, but not significant. And I'm probably wrong on that. I'm just trying to figure out. To me, this is the iconic building, and that is part of it, and it's part of the historic plaza. But even when I was reading through I was trying to find out really what made it significant. Is it just because it was attached with this, or what am I missing as far as making?
Well, yes. I mean, in terms of function of this building, that building supported this building. So this building's significance in its function was important, as well as the architecture. So the architecture in that building also is significant and, for the most part, intact on the exterior with what remains. But it is part. So on the National Register nomination, which I'd be happy to share with you, the City Hall Plaza has four contributing buildings, and City Hall is certainly one, and the Annex is one. So taken together, they create that historic district.
And then I want to come back to so everyone knows. I mean, to me, one of the conversations that I've had probably more independently is just talking to other mayors around the area, particularly when Better Together was going along. And that was even whether or not we could partner with the municipalities near us. And we really haven't quite found a way to make that one work, to find a way. So I want to make sure we talk about collaboration versus expansion. It's not something that we haven't at least explored initially. It's kind of a challenge to see where that would go, whether it's when you talk about the other municipalities that touch upon us or be somewhat convenient for us. That's kind of been a little bit of a challenge for us. The other thing is, I think I'm probably concurring with Mr. Rosen that I see the number for the desired space. I'm not sure I'm quite there for the desired space versus the need space, and that's probably something that I think my colleagues now probably wrestle with as we go through the probably the space needs study as much as anything. And the other thing, that I guess the last question I have, and maybe my memory again is faulty, but when we went through this years ago, which, you know, really wasn't very fun when we went through it years ago under the previous report, we almost had a complete flip of the numbers of here's how much it costs to renovate and here's how much it costs to build new. And the renovate numbers were significantly higher than the build new. And so I'm just trying to figure this out, because these numbers say that the cost per square foot is significantly less to rehab, even if you're going to do asbestos and mold remediation and all the extras. Whereas the last report we had, honestly, I mean, it was just a flip of the numbers where new construction was substantially cheaper. So I'm really just trying to discern here the true conflict between these two reports.
Well, I cannot speak to the first report because I wasn't a part of it. But I will tell you that we had, as well-qualified a group of experts as we could put together. Our estimator works, Trivers has done over 100 historic buildings. It's what I do, and it's about half of what we do as a firm and what we've done for 40 years. HOK certainly has the expertise to be able to help our estimator with understanding the specific needs of the police department. And as Bob said, they used all of the criteria that were required for current standards in police departments. And again, we had an environmental engineer on our team this time. I don't know if the last team actually had an engineer on board, an environmental engineer as part of their team, but we knew that was important, and so we made them a part of our team, and they were working with us the whole time throughout the study. So,
I'm not really questioning the numbers of renovation. I may be just as much questioning how we got to the new construction number, whether you're including land acquisition costs or something like that, because most of the time, historically in our city, when we have built something, it has not been built on land that we've acquired. It's been land that's been donated in some way. So I'm just trying to determine, and in residential construction, most of the time they'll tell you that new construction is less expensive than rehab. So I'm trying to get this where we are.
Let me look at it. It's been quite a number of months since we completed the cost estimate, so let me look into whether land acquisition is included there. Right. Or not.
And frankly, the other thing I'd say, I think my colleagues, we've all been down this pathway. I'm more likely to want to have the annex stay and get rehabs. Mine's a question about, we've got these two reports that are just so different, and I'd like to maybe make sure we get you that report so you can at least even just take a look at it, because it was such a different report. So I think he was, Mr. Hales.
I just wanted to respond to that. One of the key elements in the previous report was that they were calling for the taking down all of the exterior walls on the annex and then rebuilding them, like literally taking the building down just to the frame. And that's probably not what you're suggesting.
No, and since that last report, actually I'm not quite sure of the timing, but the envelope has been restored and the windows replaced. So our renovation cost does not include It includes roofing, but it does not include it includes some envelope work, but you have all new windows, and I think there has been some effort made to stop the leaking, and no, we're not suggesting taking down the walls and rebuilding them.
I think that's the
area. I do remember the bricks coming down.
Yeah,
that's right.
I think that's the area where there was a big difference, but I do believe that the cost, the build new cost, is fairly similar to what it was in the previous report.
Okay. So. Ms. Carr?
So I'd like to answer as well. One of the other costs was they were going to seismically reinforce the building. And in this report, they note that, you know, that wasn't going to be done, that there were things that you could do that could add costs. In addition, they were building an extension to the building itself. And so in a sense, you're comparing apples to oranges rather than apples to apples. So,
if I can add, we did work extensively with the chief. We did work extensively on the program and reducing it to a number that we thought was the minimum that they could work with. So it's, you know, we started out with a much larger number, but we kept looking at it and working with the police to get to something that we thought was manageable.
We appreciate the smaller number. Any other questions from my other colleagues? Point, Mr. Smotherson.
Well, I wanted to wait and hear what everybody else had to say because I'm probably completely different than anybody else in that, and I'm just really wondering why there were no other considerations since we were spending the money to do this. Why was the police the only consideration when we what we could have found out is other considerations for the building? And you know, that's one of the questions that I'm asking. I'm really kind of torn in how I feel about this. I'm not torn about that, but just trying to control my feelings about it. But I'm hoping that this council does not consider this plan. Period. I would like us to not consider this plan in putting the police back into the annex, because the problem that I have is that I don't see our police force growing in that annex. I don't see that that would be something that we can be proud of for probably the best police force in St. Louis County, period. And I think that actually would be an insult to a certain degree to actually do that, opposed to doing exactly what the police chief said in his very first presentation, and the first line that he put up was to build a new state-of-the-art police station. And that's where I think we should actually go back to. I absolutely believe that Stacy's statement about being a generational decision is important in understanding that if we go backwards with this kind of plan, and I know it's not set in stone, but I can absolutely see this flying through. But anyway, it's a generational decision in that if we go backwards to this, then what we're actually doing is allowing another council to make a decision later down the line that will be made. It's going to be made. So why don't we take that step now and really look at what we need to do with the police department? And actually, and then the last thing I'll say before I end, because I know I've said enough, but one thing that I will say is that I looked at the program consensus. And the one thing that I'm kind of curious about is that we've got these listed qualification or departments that we're checking with to verify. The one thing that I don't see and I would like to get is, what do the police think? Where's the police union? Where's the people that represent the police that work for us? And that's one of the things that I'd like to hear is from them. Thank you.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Smotherson, the reason the police were considered is because it was going to be the highest cost for the renovation. So we were aware initially that it was likely some operation was going to be a part or go into that annex. And still today, we're not sure what operation will go into the annex. But we did understand that if you decided as a council to keep police in there, then that was going to be the highest cost that you were going to experience. So that's why they were selected. The other part of this has to do with no recommendation is being made as far as what operations should be located in that space or any other open space at this point. I believe that's what the space needs study will hopefully accomplish for us. But one of the things that I think it's which is the next step. Unless I'm directed to go a different route. But as a part of the space needs study, what I'll be looking at as far as guiding principles, three very important things. One is to make sure that the operations are effective and efficient and that we can provide our services to our residents in that manner. Secondly, and these are in no order of importance, is to ensure that our employees are in a safe and comfortable environment. And thirdly, it's to minimize the cost on our taxpayers. So those are the things that guiding principles I will use to go through the needs, space needs analysis unless I'm directed to do something different.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Rose, what will be the timeline on the space needs analysis study? How much time will you need for that? And very briefly, what will it look at? Will it look at everything that that under your jurisdiction?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Kusick, we will get together as a team and identify all of the open space at this point, talk with the staff about their operations and could they be better positioned, could they be more effective, more efficient if they were structured in a different manner. So my hope is that if I get approval now to move forward with the second step, or at least a consensus, to move forward with the second step, we'll need to determine whether an RFP is needed. If so, we'll try to have that out within the next 30 days. I'm not 100% sure at this point that it is, simply because of the level of knowledge that Traverse has about our existing operations and whether reasonably any other a company could come in and compete with them. But that's a discussion that we'll need to have internally. But if it's decided that, yes, we can move forward with an RFP, then I would imagine doing that within the next 30 days. And I will be able to respond to what the time period is after that RFP has been let and the scope has been established and getting feedback from whoever we end up selecting.
And then would,
or the council selects, I'm sorry.
And then would the space needs analysis take into consideration a whole new facility for the police department, or is that just automatically considered in there?
The space needs analysis will consider existing space, new space, if we believe that it's needed. But it will start with a discussion with each department about what their space needs are, and then initially try to fit them within the space that exists. That's going to be focused on minimizing our cost. But if it's determined that no matter what we do, we cannot fit all of our operations within existing space, then we'll have discussion with you and the council about, you know, the additional space that is needed, no matter what operation is impact, but what additional space is needed.
Thank you. One more thing I'd like to add, and I'm not quite sure how to frame this. The presentation by Trivers was excellent. Thank you for that and giving us an idea of what the condition of the annex is. And then, Mr. Rose, you're talking about space need analysis, et cetera. What about the subjective message we're sending to our residents and our police department that we care about the people in University City, that we want to put our police in a modern facility, put them in a facility that they can be proud to go to work in, and that it stands up as an emblem for the protection of our residents of University City, rather than just a brick and mortar issue. That there's a lot of psychological factors behind this as well. What type of message? I have to agree with Councilmember Smotherson that it's time for us to move forward, and that is. I don't see that just putting the police back in the annex will really solve that problem. And what kind of message are we wanting to send out? So are we keeping all of those issues at the forefront? Because it's not just about a building with desks in it.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Kusick, I don't believe that providing or placing the police in a state-of-the-art facility and the renovation of the annex are mutually exclusive. What's difficult often is for people to imagine how a space can look, and that's why we want to have the experts on board to provide us with assistance in how can this work. A good example is even the city of Clayton. They took an old building and renovated it for their police department. But if you can imagine what that building looked like initially, probably not what it looks like today. So I'm not saying that that's going to be the case by any means. I think we'll go through a process. We'll bring that information forward to the council to make some decisions about how they want their departments to be structured and in what space they want them to be in. But a part of that is going to be what's going to be the cost for doing it. And so we hope to bring all of that information to you in a package and provide you with what options are. And you'll make the decision.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that we're doing renovations for federal buildings, workplace, courthouses. Bob's done police renovations. They really don't build them like they used to. And so I know that we're only the architect for the study, but in every renovation and rehabilitation project, it's our intention that everyone is really excited about the final outcome. It's also a far more sustainable solution than building something new when you have existing properties that you can reuse. And you can oftentimes have more budget to put into a renovation than you would have for a ground up, so you can have more bells and whistles in that scenario because of the cost of building new. So I'll just add that.
I think Mr. Clay was next.
I'll take it. Thank you. When is the, and forgive me, I should, this information I think is in front of me, I just can't locate it. Comprehensive planning is taking place when? When does that begin?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, that process has already started. Okay. We will place a RFP out on the 13th of this month, looking for consultants to assist us, but it's a part of the FY20 proposed work plan.
So this council finds itself at a pivotal time. We're going through comprehensive planning. We are laying out what this community will look like in conjunction with the community for the next 20 some odd years. And so I think this conversation has to be a part of it. Is there any contemplated intersection between the space needs study, the comprehensive plan? Because certainly we want what the community desires as it relates to public safety to align with the facility that they would in the police would inhabit to help enact that vision, obviously coupled with our professional expertise.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, I had not considered integrating the space needs study with the comprehensive plan. Often what drives police facility is how can you be effective and efficient with reducing crime. And sometimes that's very different than just simply saying, a facility will look nice here. So I can tell you that for the recommendation that I'll provide to you, it will be centered more on how can we ensure that we are as effective with our policing approach, and how do buildings integrate into that approach more so than. Those will be the driving factors for me as far as the recommendation that I will give to you. It's just how can we make our police more effective by using these facilities in a manner to do so. So I don't know if that answers your question.
I see the two aligned. I think if we're laying out a vision for what our community will be, clearly public safety is among the key elements of that. Now, yes, certainly among our citizenry, there is not there's not deep justice construction experience, but there is a vision for what policing should look like, which we know from a community-oriented policing perspective, the view of the community, the vision of the community is a part of what they do and part of what they implement. And so to the degree that we can incorporate elements of that into our space needs study, because this is more than just policing for space needs. This is about our entire plaza, which that all elements of that will impact our citizenry. They are the ones who interact with permits and the other things. And so their voice has to be, I would think, a part of the considerations as we think about space and what our municipal plaza and what our facilities will look like. Because after all, they function for them.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, initially we will simply provide you with the information and then you can make a decision as far as how you want that information vetted. You may decide that you want us to have multiple community meetings to present the information that we find from the space need study and gain additional input into that. But that will be, while a part of the space need study, that won't be the initial phase of it. That will come only if the mayor and council believes that that's going to be an important component.
Ms. Carr?
Thank you. So I'll flip what I was going to say, flip the order of what I was going to say. The space needs are established essentially for the people who work here. I mean, in order to make it efficient and safe and a productive place. People that that live here may walk into the lobby or may want to have a cheerful or an efficient interaction. But it, for the most part, it is not established, in my opinion, for the neighborhoods. I think we should certainly support the police, but as many of you know, Mr. Smotherson and I are on the opposite sides of this. I worked very, very hard to make sure that the annex was protected from sales out from under without the say-so of the people. And I do believe that it is not moving backward to reconsider a renovation. As Mr. Rose said, the Clayton facility, which is, by the way, probably one of the top facilities, one of the more state-of-the-art facilities, actually was in an older building, I think a building from the 70s or something like that, and it was renovated. I'd like to think that we don't throw our older buildings away because we want something brand spanking new. I'd like to think that we think about it, and so I agree that the space needs is mandatory because we'd like to think if there is another use for it besides what we came up with before, which was white boxing it, and I guess if you build it, it will come. I think it is in no way disrespect to our police to provide them with a clean, safe, state-of-the-art building, whether it's renovated or built new. I think that if their salaries are commensurate with what they are doing and with what is being paid, and that training and safety and all those things are provided, we are by no means being disrespectful to our police. You know, if they'd like to choose the couches that are in the lobby or something like that, by all means. But I think that in the end, the decision resides with the council and with consultation with staff, with citizens, with all the, you know, with others, but essentially, this is not a, you know, we're gonna hold open meetings for 2 years before we ever get to this problem. We finally had to move them out, not of our own volition, but because the court said we couldn't keep them there any longer while we were gonna warehouse them there while we were building something new. The whole thing was crazy. I'm glad we've moved away from that. I'm glad that we're pursuing, you know, this kind of systematic examination of what is needed and where we can put it. And I do believe in sustainability. And I think that carrying empty buildings that are basically sick, as this one is right now, is a very bad decision.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. What I will say is this, is that I'm not against the annex and the historic significance of that building at all. I want to keep that building, but the way I see it, and I want to please make sure that everybody understands this, the way I see it is that this City Hall and the annex is our government center and should be used as our government center. I remember because of my relationship with people that I knew that were police officers and the incidents that happened with the police on that lot, and you're adding the police back into this building where people work. So I don't find that safe for employees or the public. But what I will say is this, and the question that I ask is this. We keep referencing the Clayton building, but from my understanding, the Clayton building is bigger than the building that they left, is it not? Is the Clayton building right now, I think it's like 83,000 square feet, but I'm asking, is that building that they renovated a bigger building than what they left? You know, anybody know? Well, anyway, I believe it's bigger. But the other point that you got to understand about the Clayton building that we keep referencing is that the Clayton building is not in back of City Hall. It sits on Brentwood. And that's what I'm really trying to make us understand that the, you know, there's this psychological thing that we're missing, because now we're going to put the police back into the annex, and the police station sits in back of City Hall. I don't see anything proud or forward thinking about that at all. Again, I think it's just a bad place, a location from the history of things that I've known that have happened here. And again, there's no comparison to what Clayton did, because again, Clayton moved into a bigger building, and that building sits front and center on Brentwood. Thank you.
A couple of things. I know we've got to head back to the public session, but Amy, I don't know if this is for you or for the city manager, but it was my understanding that when I read through the proposal that the rehab space would have a pretty open architecture where between the professionals and the people who are working there, we'd get to design spaces that would be appropriate for current policing techniques. Am I correct? So it's not like they're just moving back in. The way I understood from actually the parts I read were that this was constructed in such a way that made those open spaces pretty easy.
Right, yeah. So we just went through conceptual block planning to try to do a test fit, but we would certainly be working. It would be a complete gut rehab designed specifically for the police department's needs and in conjunction with police department input, which we did have a lot of their input in developing the proposal.
And then secondly, were there conversations with members of our staff, or was this all pretty much done externally?
I don't know. In your programming sessions, I believe it was police department, and then we met with public works when we would present things.
Honorable Mayor, council members, I could respond to that. Yes, there was input provided by both police and public works regarding it, but we also knew that it was likely the mayor and council would move forward with a space needs analysis. So a lot of focus was not placed in, you know, where people are going to be located. It was just, you know, can we operate out of that facility?
Okay. Folks, we will move forward. We'll adjourn the study session and move forward to the public session. If there's time for a quick break. To our professionals who've joined us tonight, Amy, thank you. To you and your team for coming. Thank you.
Thank you.